Okay, so this, if last week was the penultimate Shmuz of the Zman, it's the last Shmuz of the Zman of the long winter Zman, Tavshin Pei Gimel, Chor Zman, and it's a time to reflect. Time to reflect. And I want to reflect with you, together, I want to reflect on how Ben Torah, Ben Yeshiva, leaves Yeshiva. And also on how Ben Torah, Ben Yeshiva takes Yeshiva with him to the next stage of life. I want to talk about both of those things today. Siyat Dishmai. Let's begin first things first. How does a Ben Torah take leave of Yeshiva? We're all leaving Yeshiva, even if it's just for some time. Even if we're back here in the summer's month. But we're all leaving Yeshiva now for a month, fachot. There's a Meiridik of art. A Meiridik of art in a few places. The Altar of Kelm says it, Eli Lapian says it, and it could be to others as well. On the beginning of Parash Vayakel. We'll start with Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe is called Aspen, and Israel gathers them. He tells them about what? Shabbos Mishkan, good? Mm-hmm. And then at the end, the last pasuk in the first Aliyah is Vayetzu Kol Adas Yisrael Milafnei Moshe. Which means that the entire nation left from Moshe. And the obvious question is, it's Pasha. If Moshe gathered them, so where were they?
Right.
By Moshe. So if they're by Moshe already, the entire time, so obviously when they leave, they're leaving for Moshe. So why is the Torah tell me, Vayetzu kol adas yisrael milafnei Moshe? Obviously they were by Moshe. So they weren't by Moshe anymore. They left. So there's no extra words in the Torah. My father, Shlita, likes to ask the obvious rhetorical question. How many extra words are there in the Torah? And then everyone says, none. And then he always says, but I found a few. So here, my father, Shlita, would say, I found the whole Pasuk. Well, why does the Torah have to say, Vayetzu kol adas Yisrael, Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mifnei Moshe? No? You hear the kasha? Good kasha? Chemi, good kasha? Moreover, Rabbi say, Gevalda Keteretz. A beautiful pshat. Say these G'dolei Achronim Bali Musar, a beautiful idea, which is that when they left Moshe Rabbeinu, even after they left Moshe Rabbeinu, it was clear on them where they had just been. The Torah is not just telling us they left Moshe. They were in Moshe Rabbeinu's presence. The experience that they had by being in Moshe Rabbeinu's presence was so impactful, was so real for them, that it was clear even after they left Moshe's presence that they were in Moshe's presence. So anybody that saw them afterwards, I know where he was just now. He was in Moshe Rabbeinu's presence. Moshe, you leave in a way that the experience that you had is so clear upon you that everyone can see, this person was just in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. He points out a beautiful thing. Rav Eli Lapian in the Sefer, quotes a pasuk of Mishnah. Perek Gimel, pasuk Lamed Dalet. Im leleitzim hu yolitz, v'la'anovim yitein chen. If it's with the leitzim, with the scoffers, he will become a scoffer. V'la'anovim, and to the humble ones, yitein chen. It quotes Rashi. If a person is drawn after the leitzim, he'll be a leitz like them. But im la'anovim yitchaber, if a person connects himself to those that are humble, sof sheyitnu masav chen b'enei abrios. What's going to happen? He will get the chen of the anavim, and when he goes out into the world, he will bring chen. He will find chen in the eyes of those who he encounters. In other words, you leave yeshiva, and he talks about Ben Hazdan over here also, you leave yeshiva, and the goal is that it's clear on everything that you do, on every move that you make, on every action that you involve yourself in, that you were in yeshiva. If I was talking to guys that were in yeshiva for a few months, just one year, okay, whatever. I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people that, Baruch Hashem, have been shifty b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai for almost 2 years. Lachzos b'noam Hashem ulvaker b'chol for almost 2 years. When you leave yeshiva, we're supposed to leave yeshiva in a way that it's clear upon us, legamrei, without us saying anything, where we were and who we are. Now from the Kotel this morning with my guys. Went to the Kotel for a little last Nashe Nigin. Kadosh Baruch Hu was very kind to us. He gave us, he sent us a hashkacha. I was by Holy Bagel, and there was a guy comes over to me and goes, "Do I know you?" I said, "You look familiar. Your name is Yudin, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, you got me." He's like, "I met you at a bris like 2 months ago." I'm like, "Okay, great." He goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm here with my shir." "Why?" "At the end of this man, wrap up a little bit. We'll learn a little bit, sing a little bit." He goes, "When you finish eating in Holy Bagel, go to this apartment, go to the top floor. You'll appreciate it." Okay, fine. He gives me his own address of his apartment. Walk up the stairs. The most craziest view ever. Higher than Aish. You feel like you're on Harabais. Higher than Aish. You feel like you're on Harabais. Literally like you're like looking down onto Harabais. Beyond. Beyond. Why am I telling you this, Maisa? First of all, it's great Ashkacha. It was a great way to end this man. But secondly, when you leave the kotel, how do you leave the kotel?
Backwards.
You don't turn your back on the kotel. You walk out like you're taking your steps back in Shmoneh Esrei. At least for a few feet. Why? Because you had a special experience. You don't want that experience to leave you. You want the experience to stay with you. You want it to be part of you. You want it to be you. Ayetu called that Sovuk Moshe. My friends, the second you walk out of yeshiva, you're going to be on trial. Who's putting you on trial? The answer is everybody is. Everyone you encounter is going to want to know, is this like a nice phase? Or is this real? Is this person really a Ben Torah? Or is it like a nice, you know, 2 year stint in Eretz Yisrael? Avella Lapian has an unbelievable ha'ara. No one's going to ask you, most people are not going to ask you to sit down with a Gemara and read to them a Gemara. They're not going to ask you to read a Tosos or a Reb Chaim or a Geshmaka Briskarov. You know what they're going to do? They're going to tap into your midos and see where your midos are. And if your midos, Baruch Hashem, I know they have improved significantly, they'll be bought into the fact that you are a different person than you are when you came to yeshiva, than you were when you came to yeshiva. But if unfortunately the midos aren't the way they, they're not commensurate with a person's growth and learning, then the learning that you've done, and it's all yours forever, it's your learning, in the eyes of others is going to be very much compromised and very much minimized. Because the way people look at you and check you is not by what you know and how much you know, but how you act and how we interact with others. He quotes one of the most beautiful Gemaras that I love to quote over. I probably quoted it in the Shmuz with you in the past. It's a Gemara in the Seches Yuma, Adaf Pevav. The Gemara says, Meseches Yuma and Pevav is a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Know the Gemara? We'll chazer it together. Look at the Gemara. It's mamash a Gemara for life. If only Halavai we could live this Gemara, Adasof, this is a Gemara for life. All the Gemaras are Gemaras for life. This is a Gemara for life. The Gemara says, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. The Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha? How do you love Hashem? So the Gemara says, the ultimate, the goal of your Avas Hashem is, Shetehei Shem Shamayim Mis'ahiv Al Yadecha. Which means that people should love Hashem through you. And the Gemara explains, I'll see a person who learned, and he is involved in the world like a mensch, and he's honest in business, and they say, "Wow, this guy that learned Torah, look how nice he acts. Look how refined his speech is. Look how much of a mensch he is." They say, "Ah, wow. Lucky is the father that taught him Torah. Lucky is the Rebbe that taught him Torah." What's that? That's a Kiddush Hashem, no? Kiddush Hashem? But it's not only Kiddush Hashem, it's Avas Hashem. You know why? Because you're making others love Hashem also. By just being you, by just acting like a bench, by just acting with Yashas, by just talking in a refined way, by just being the person that you have become, you are engendering a tremendous amount of Avas Hashem. You're making others love Hashem. What greater display of Avas Hashem is there than others love Hashem through you? Want Eitz Rabbein Azmanim? Here's Eitz Rabbein Azmanim. When you go to a restaurant with your family and the waitress comes and says, what would you like? You say, can I please have a Coke? And when she comes to give you the bill, you say, thank you so much. You did excellent service today. I really appreciate it. That's Eitzer Ben Zmanim. Or when your parents say, Azriel, it's so nice to have you back, house. Not home, home is Eretz Yisrael. It's so nice to have you back, house. Azriel, can you please take the car? Can you please take the car to be clean for Pesach? And you say, sure, ma. It's my greatest honor. It's my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the schus that you're giving me. You don't have to say those words even, but they'll see those words. You know what you're doing? You're not tifuring. You're just being a ben Torah. You're just taking the Torah that you learned for the past few years and living the Torah. That's ben hazmanim. Of course, you should learn ben hazmanim also. I'm not minimizing it. Everyone should learn ben hazmanim. Fish can't survive without water, and an neshama can't survive without Torah. That's obvious. What you're going to breathe ben hazmanim, so of course you're going to learn ben hazmanim also. But again, the test is not only how much you learn and how many hours you sit with a Gemara or a Shulchan Aruch or a Shnai Mikra or whatever. The test is really, where am I holding as a mensch? Where are my midos? I think I mentioned this to Mesillas Hasharim earlier this year. Mesillas Hasharim writes an amazing thing. In Perek Yud Aleph of Mesillas Hasharim, if it's review, I apologize. He writes, listen to these words, Ki kavod ha-Torah hu. You know what the honor of Torah is? Shemisha mar ba'alimud ba, the more a person learns, yarbe kemochem bi-yosher v'tikun ha-midos. It should be commensurate, which means exactly amount to the amount that you learn should be your midos. V'choma she'yechzar mizeh l'misha mar ba'alimud. And if a person's midos are not refined, even though he's learning a lot, he's a mas menotzim. But he's an unrefined character. Gorim bizayon alimud atzmo. That's a bizayon haTorah. V'chas v'shalom, I can't even say the next words. Chilul shmo yizbarach. It's a chilul Hashem. Why? She'nasan lano es torasa ha'kedosha. Why have we been learning for the last 2 years or 20 years? Why are we learning for? He gave us the Torah. V'tzivanu lasok ba. And he said, be osik in the Torah. Why? Lasik al yad hashlem huseinu. To become the most perfect people we could become. That's the goal of this whole existence. Of course it's to learn Torah and to know Masech HaSukkah. But it's also to have Masech HaSukkah become a part of you. You know what they say, to see him. You're going to make a siyum, a lot of siyum in Rabosai, a lot of times. Make a siyum on Sukkah again, and Makua, whatever you learn, Chagiga now, and whatever Masechus you learn. What a word. Hadron Allah, Hadrach Alon. What does that mean? Hadron Allah, my Hadr is on you, Hadrach, and your Hadr is on me. What's Hadr? Splendor. The splendor of the Masechta should be on the person that learns the Masechta. You're not just a regular person, you're a person with Masechus Sukkah. Different person. You're a person that learns Biniyah, that learns Bekiyah, that learns Shnayim Mikra, that learns Musa, that learns Chumash, that learns whatever he learns. That's a different kind of person, a different quality of an individual. What an opportunity. I want to close up in Yirtzeh Hashem with a little bit moving forward. I don't know how to leave yeshiva. Just a practical etza. I'm going to repeat a story that I told over earlier this year. I apologize for the chazara, but I think it's a great story. And it's a story, it's a very, very practical lesson. If you're expecting like a real, woo, grandiose lesson, it may not be that for you. But truth be told, if we live our lives this way, with this message, we'll be mamish b'nei aliyah. Real b'nei aliyah. I'm going to close with this message. I'll repeat the story. For those that don't remember it, so it'll be repeat, it'll be chazara. Those that remember it, it'll be chazara also. I told it in this room, I think at least twice so far. Only happened, I think, last summer. My father, Shlita, came with us, my family, to the Kinneret. Know his Maisa? Maybe I didn't tell his Maisa. Great. I told him in this room for sure. Oh, there's a Q&A. It was for alumni. It wasn't yours. Oh, good. My father went, I might have said also. My father went with my family to the Kinneret. It was a special experience. It was my dad. And myself, my children, my sons-in-law, I think even one of my grandsons, Baruch Hashem, was with us in the water. It's a big bond, you know? It doesn't happen usually like that. My father doesn't go in the water often, the Kinneret for sure. And it was a special, like, we're going up to Tzav for Shabbos, we stopped in the Kinneret. Fine. Shoya. A cousin of ours was on the beach, the rocks, next to the Kinneret, and he sees us in the water, and he's approached by a Sephardi man, 50 year old man. He says to my cousin, who he knows, "Do you know who that man is in the water?" Pointing to my father. So my cousin, who's a big chassid of my father, said, "Yeah, that's my uncle. He's a Rav Gadol me America. It's worthwhile if you get a bracha from him." So the guy's like, "Yeah, okay, fine." Sephardi like brachas, you know. My father's old, it looks like an older person a little bit, and I think his brachas are valuable. So he comes out of the water. We don't know about this. He comes out of the water, and all of a sudden, my cousin ushers this Sephardi man over to my father. And the guy goes to my father, Harav, and he would say bracha. I want a bracha for Shalom Bayis, for chinuch for my children. So my father's wearing a bathing suit and my Crocs and no yarmulke on his head, and that's it. My father looks down and looks at his yarmulke and says, "Be a bracha? Like what? Please, please, Rav, I want a bracha." So my father says, "You want a bracha? I'll give you a bracha." What's the bracha? The bracha is that every day of your life, you should strive to be a little bit better than you were the previous day. So the guy looks at my father and says, "Rav, maybe you didn't understand. I wanted a bracha for Shalom Bayis. I wanted a bracha for chinuch for my children. Like, maybe you didn't get it." So Papa, my father, turns to this man and says, "Yeah, I understood exactly what you wanted. Let me explain. If you are always getting a little bit better the next day, you will improve, and everything about you and your life will improve as well. Your Shalom Bayis will be better. The chinuch of your children will be better. If you're always striving to be a little bit better than you are and than you were until now, everything in your life, all situations in your life, will be better." I have a neighbor who's a big Reb Nachman Breslov guy. He's a big Talmud Chacham also, huge. And he asks me all the time, "How are you doing?" I say, "Baruch Hashem." And I ask him back, "How are you doing?" And he says, "A little bit better than yesterday. And hopefully tomorrow, a little bit better than today." And now whenever he asks me, I always respond the same way. He's like, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "You're ter tov me'atmo. Bezat Hashem achar you're ter tov." It's a small, small little nekuda. And maybe it's a little bit undefined even. But that's the goal. The goal is a little bit better. A little bit better in our kibbutz avayim. A little bit better in our davening. A little bit better in our learning. A little bit better in our b'nam l'chaviro. A little bit better in these areas. Don't say, "Okay, I'm never talking about snar again. Okay, I do that, it'll never work." A little bit better. Tomorrow, one more halacha. Tomorrow I'll be a little bit more careful in saying a certain thing. Tomorrow I'll come davening 1 minute earlier than I came today. Or I'll come on time instead of late. A little bit better tomorrow than I was today. If that's the mindset, if a person's always trying to be a little bit better than they were, slowly but surely, kovetz al yad, a little bit by little, a person's able to accomplish a great deal. How do we leave yeshiva? How do we leave yeshiva? We walk backwards. We look back on the last 2 years of our experience in yeshiva, we say, "You know what? That was real. That was real. The learning I did was real. The growth in my midos was real. That's who I want to be. That's where I want to go." And I use it all as a launching pad, as a foundation, as a yisod to keep climbing, one step at a time. These years in yeshiva, you're never getting back. They're great years. Baruch Hashem, everyone's going to yeshiva next month, thank God. Halavai for a very long time, everyone should be in yeshiva. But this experience, you're never going to have again. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh. No distractions, no family, no one tugging at you. Just Maseches Sukkah. Just whatever you were learning. Just growing and just trying to become a better person. This I hope you'll have a lot the rest of your life, but you're not gonna have it like this ever again. So I give us all a bracha that we should leave yeshiva the right way. It should be clear upon us where we were. It should be clear in our midos. We should be zochet to mekayim v'yahavta eis Hashem alokecha sheyei shem shemayim mis'alei v'ayadenu. We should walk out of here and not one last beautiful word from Rav Twersky, Shlita. He said about his mother. He quoted Itzlof from Pentenberg. He said that the highest madriga of humility is that a person doesn't even realize that they're being humble. You don't have to like put on a show in the yeshiva. Just be you. Just be yourself. Yourself is a different self than it was, Baruch Hashem, when you came into yeshiva. And you should be zochim et Hashem to take my father's advice a little bit stronger every single day, day by day. Siyat Nishmaya, we should all be zochim to grow and grow and grow. Final comment is that when it comes to ruchnius, there's no limit. When it comes to physical things, the sky's the limit. How high can I jump? I don't know, around 8.5 feet high. You know, off the ground maybe. 9 feet if I'm on a good day. I can never slam. It was never half meters. it doesn't matter. It's not the most important thing in life, right? When it comes to ruchnius, my friends, there's no cap. There's no ceiling. There's no ceiling and there's no limit. You're never done. We should be zochim et Hashem to climb in a healthy way, ladder, rung by rung, with siyat nishmaya, a little bit better each and every single day. Be zochim to be mekadesh im shemayim, to bring nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring nachas ruach to ourselves, and it should be a wonderful, wonderful zmanim, zmanim, mina zmanim, and zmanim to come.